error a minute ago. I was thinking of the Marilyn Taylor's here. Marilyn, she used to play piano for the children's musicals, and I was thinking that Mary Elizabeth was going to play today, but actually they're using a tape background. So Mary didn't do that. Actually, Rebecca has done a lot for this, and she's the name I should have mentioned, along with many others who made this possible. So we thank you, even if you have not been named. And the other thing is, as we take the offering and Timothy comes to preach, all the children that are in the musical should go downstairs so that you can be getting ready when you come up after Timothy preaches. Secondly, in addition to the nursery, the pre-K nursery is going to be downstairs with the Walneys, and they will also come up for the musical, but they are still going to be downstairs during this time. So everybody can get those children moving where they need to be, and then we'll all get back together after the sermon for the musical. And Phil's going to pray now for our offering.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. You are the light of the world, and you, there is no darkness at all. We rejoice that you've come, and Lord, you came to die. It seems like a hard thing to share at this blessed holiday, but Christmas is not complete without Easter, and we rejoice in both. We rejoice in you. May we know you, may we love you, as you have so loved us. Thank you for all that give today. Bless those that give and those that can't give. And Lord, may it multiply fourfold for your kingdom's purpose. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's passage is taken from the book of Luke, second chapter, starting at verse 8. To verse 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the angels began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this thing, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as has been told them.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come together to celebrate, to fellowship around your word. And we thank you for all the wonderful things going on today, all the expressions of our faith, of our relationship with you and our relationships with one another. And I ask that in our hearts and minds and even in all of our activities during this season, as is common said, that you would continue to be the reason for this season, that we would keep you first in all things. And because of that, that we would have much fun, that we would enjoy our time together, that we would find freedom to worship you in these many different ways. So we want to hear from you this morning. We want to hear from your word. We want to hear from the kids. And I just pray your blessing upon everything that happens today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I know you want to get to the kids' programs. yeah. So they told me I have to shave this down, so I'm going to go from like 40 minutes to 35, 35 and a half. We'll see how that goes. No, we are going to keep this short and sweet. This is the final part of our Angels We Have Heard on High series. We've looked at Zacharias, talking with Gabriel, Mary, talking with Gabriel, Joseph, talking with the angel of the Lord, whoever that might be, most likely Gabriel, I guess, but in his dreams, that kind of thing. That was last week, and this week is our final installment here, and it is the shepherds with the angel, and then the army of angels, as that angel's, the messenger angels, his kind of his background singers, I guess. This incredible story settled here in Luke chapter 2. And so I'd like us to get right to the point, to the point where we're going to focus. In the recent parts of this series, if you remember, I've gone through and we've looked at some of the structure of the passage, which I know sounds exciting for all of us, but it really was cool if you're able to be here for that. We looked at the way that Luke, the gospel writer, and Matthew in the other story with Joseph, but in three out of these four messages, we've been in Luke's gospel. So we've been looking at the way Luke structured his writing to highlight the main message, right? So I'm going to skip over all the details, and I'm going to go right to the golden nugget for you here. The golden nugget today is Luke 2:14. Luke 2, verse 14, is the climax of this part of the Christmas story. And you might not be surprised to hear what that is. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 is this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." That is the climax, the high point. That is the epicenter for Luke in this part of his gospel. So that is what we're going to look at. It's well known. It's on our banners, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's up there. That'd be bad if I was. That's what it's talking about, right? Glory to God in the highest. So, if that is the center for Luke, then we need to ask ourselves, why? What was Luke trying to say? Why was that so important for him? And it's really neat. When you look at it in the original language, there's a little bit of a subtle switch here, and it would really be this in the word order: glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace to men with whom he is well pleased. So in the highest, and highest in the language, the original language being a spatial reference, so it is the highest heavens. Right? So it's like the highest of the heavens. In the highest of the heavens, glory to God. On earth, peace to men. Now, what is Luke saying here? What is he communicating here? It's really this, folks. It's the most simple yet amazing thing. Jesus Christ was reconciling heaven and earth. Because Jesus was coming, and he represented heaven and earth being restored to one another, right? In Genesis, we have Adam and Eve, we have God, we have perfect relationship all around. Adam and Eve, perfect relationship with each other, perfect relationship with God, or this complete relationship, right? This free relationship, relationship with the earth, good relationship. And what does sin do? It breaks all those relationships. Adam and Eve, they start blaming each other, right? They hide from God. And what does the earth do? It produces thorns and thistles. It's this devastating twist in this story that what was complete and whole was broken. Relationships were broken by sin. And so what do we have the angels announcing? No more. Genesis 3, you are being undone. And what is so cool about Genesis 3? What does God say to Eve? Yeah, the enemy has done some serious damage. He has done some serious damage. But I've got a plan. And there's going to be someone who comes from your bloodline. And the serpent is going to catch him in the heel. But that person is going to crush his head. And then it's done. This is really exciting. So this little verse, this little song that was sung by this angelic host is basically saying, heaven and earth are meeting again in a little baby laying in a feeding trough. Buckle up. You know, the Jesus Storybook Bible, I'm pretty sure this is how one of the Christmas narratives starts. It says, like, this is it. This was it. This is what the entire Old Testament pointed to. The reconciliation of heaven to earth. This is so exciting. So I got 25 minutes left. It is so exciting. So that sounds great. The reconciliation of, you know, the highest to earth, heavens to earth. What does that look like? Well, I would stick with what Luke says. Glory goes to God and peace to men, to mankind, to humanity. Reconciliation. So this means that in the life of Jesus, in his ministry, his life and ministry and words and actions were going to be marked by all glory going to God and peace and reconciliation, a message of peace and reconciliation going to all mankind, particularly to those with whom God was pleased, right? So, what does this mean for us? That's right, folks. We are already at the application. So, breakneck speed. What does this mean for us? Well, the short and sweet of it is this. What the angels said about Jesus applies to us. Timothy, I was with you, but I just fell off the wagon. What the angels said about Jesus now applies to us. Because go with me on this. If we are the body of Christ, if we are the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells within us like it did in Jesus, because what he did, he gets baptized and the Spirit comes down, don't skip over that, because that means that what he did from then on was by the power of the Spirit within him. So we have that same Spirit. We have access to it. We are part of the body of Christ. Therefore, our lives and our ministry, our presence on this earth, our impact on this earth should be marked by two things: the glory going to God and reconciliation and peace going to mankind. Now, I don't need to give you a whole bunch of examples, but I'm sure that all of us can think of individuals or groups who claim the name Christian who don't give all glory to God and don't preach a message of peace and reconciliation. And they're not reconciling man to man, person to person, you know, reconciling man to earth, man to God. But that is what we should be doing. Our lives should be marked by glory going to God and peace going out to all of mankind. And while there are perhaps many individuals and groups that don't give all glory to God and bring peace to other people, and let's be fair, each of us as individuals, there are times where we fail to do that, right? We fail to give the glory to God. We fail to reconcile and bring peace and all those different relationships that were affected by sin. However, every once in a while, you see an exception. You encounter an exceptional person or an exceptional group. And I want to tell you about an encounter that Krista and I had. Krista, was that like 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I'm a pretty big nerd. As cool as I am, I'm a pretty big nerd. And I watch C-SPAN? No one? Okay. There we go. Yeah, all right. Got up there in the peanut gallery. Woo woo! Yeah, C-SPAN. Okay. C-SPAN is basically these, you know, nerdy live video feeds from Congress and, you know, boring stuff like that. And then every once in a while, some interviews with these authors who are much smarter than most people on the face of the earth. Well, anyhow, it makes me feel better about myself, I guess. Krista and I, the other day, we got home after church, put the boys down for a nap, and we were just turning on the TV. And I flipped to C-SPAN. That's kind of my nerdy default. And there are these two guys being interviewed. A black guy with a fro, kind of this goatee thing going on, and a white guy who was about as white as they come, gray hair, side part, wireframe glasses, suit, vest, tie. And then the black guy was dressed up too. And they're sitting there being interviewed, and they're actually leaning into one another, shoulder to shoulder. The whole interview, and we only watched like 15 minutes. It was a three-hour interview, which I'm trying to chip away at as I get a chance. They're leaning into each other, physically touching the whole time, being asked questions, and while one is answering, the other one's like, mm-hmm, completely engaged. Then the other guy talks, and the other guy is, yep, mm-hmm, oh yeah, the whole time. I don't know that I've ever seen two people with that kind of relationship. Now, here's what's really interesting. Their names are Cornell West and Robert George. Robert George is the white guy. Cornell West was the black guy. They are both professors. They have both held professorships at Harvard and Princeton. And Dr. West has also been a professor at Yale. Cornell West is what many people would call a radical leftist liberal. Robert George is a hardcore conservative Republican. You don't see this much happening in our culture right now. Krista and I watched this for about 15 minutes, and we eventually had to turn it off and go do other things. But when we finished and finished that program, I was walking around the house, and I was just so excited. And I said to Krista, I said, that is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. And I don't see that in a lot of churches. And I don't see that coming from a lot of people who call themselves Christians. And this is not a corrective message I'm giving you guys today, because I was downright inspired. Because you got these two guys from polar opposites, life experiences, polar opposites of the political spectrum, different skin color, and they're sitting there and they are brothers. One of them is Baptist, the other guy's Roman Catholic. That doesn't happen a whole lot. Cornell West and Robert George were giving all the glory to God because they're two of the most, I mean, talk about credentials. They teach at Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, but they don't really make much of that. They both talk the whole time about their faith and their belief in Jesus Christ. And then in terms of peace to mankind, their relationship with one another was just their physical closeness. Their physical closeness was incredible. I mean, it was at first when I saw it, I thought this is kind of awkward. But then I listened to them and I said, this is God. This is not awkward. This is the presence of Christ in these two men. So to get to the point today, if I wrap up this whole series, it is to say a couple things. The angels we have heard on high, their job throughout this Christmas story was to announce the kingdom of God. They were saying, as the storybook Bible says, this is it. Zacharias, this is it. You can just be quiet for a while. Mary, this is it. Good, you got it? Okay, see you later. Joseph, you know, three or four times, this is it. This is it. This is it. To the shepherds, this is it. It is now our job as the body of Christ to do the same thing. And the shepherds are a great example because they did it. You see, the angels give the shepherds the message, and they say, this is going to be a message for all people. And what do the shepherds do at the end of the story? What do? They go and tell, in the Greek, all people. We are now the proclaimers of this kingdom. And as Robert George and Cornell West have demonstrated and continue to demonstrate, we don't just proclaim it, we live it out. Not perfectly, but by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit within us, we are called to proclaim and demonstrate this kingdom. Can I get an amen? Amen. And to close, I'm going to just have a quote from Cornell West. He says this, if the kingdom of God is in you, you should leave a little bit of heaven wherever you go. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word. May we be inspired and changed and transformed by it. Bless the kids as they come and share with us this morning. Open our eyes and ears and our hearts to hear from you in another mode, in another way that you communicate with us. And we know that you, when you were here, talked so much about the special place of children in your kingdom. So may we listen to these messengers of your kingdom as they share with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of practical announcement, I suppose at this time, if you have kiddos that are down in the nursery rooms, you go get those kids so that the nursery workers can come up here and also take part in this part of our service today. And so I'm passing this off to anyone in particular.
The children are very excited, so we'll see what happens. But feel free to move. I'm going to be sitting right here, and feel free to move around so that you're going to be able to see up here. The Nativity will be on your right, the band's on your right, so reposition yourself at any point, okay? I think that's it.
We're gonna make it sparkle.
Yeah.
Gonna make it shine. All right, everyone, it's almost time to start the show. I need angels in their places and shepherds in costume. Where's the band? Come on, people, let's make it happen. Emma, isn't this exciting? Just imagine, tonight, someone from the biggest, brightest Christmas show ever contest will be here to see our show. Well, I don't know if we're the biggest, but we might definitely be the brightest.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Emma. Do you think we put up enough lights?
Any more lights? And I think you could see us from outer space.
It really looks great, Sammy. Everything really sparkles.
Thanks, and just wait until you see our Silent Night light show. Right, Seth?
Yeah. Sorry we're late. Meryl couldn't find her crown.
Wow, you guys look great, Frankie.
Yeah, you look sparkly.
Goldie made her outfit.
I used all my glitter.
Where's Spence?
He's on his way. Mrs. Taylor needs help. She's giving him a ride.
So we are still missing Tessa and Vanessa.
We're here, and we are so totally excited. We've been rehearsing for, like, forever, right, Vanessa?
Like, forever, Tessa. Is the judge here yet, Lindsay?
Maybe. The identity of the judge is a secret. We won't know who it is until after the show.
Ooh, isn't that totally awesome, Vanessa?
Totally awesome, Tessa. Let's go rehearse some more.
Lindsay, do you think we're missing something here? We're missing our star and Spence. Oh, I think I hear him coming.
Thank you again for helping me with my tree, young man. I hope I didn't make you late. You truly have the real Christmas spirit. Hi, kids.
Hi.
My, everything looks so festive. You must be so excited.
We are, Mrs. Taylor. Thank you again for telling us about the contest.
See you after the show.
Did you bring the star?
Yep.
That's the wrong star! I wanted the star that turned colors and flashing LED lights. It totally made the manger scene happen.
I'm sorry, Lindsay. It was the only one left. Maybe I should go join the band.
This star is so small. No one will ever see this star. Now the manger scene is doomed.
It will be fine, Lindsay.
Okay, I think we're finally ready. Places, please, everyone. Places. It's showtime. Let's get excited. Let's sing, people. It's Christmas.
Thank you. to all the earth and peace divine. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time.
Everyone, and welcome to our show. We really hope it will be the biggest, brightest Christmas show that you've ever seen. We have lots of exciting things planned. A heavenly choir, a great band, plus rocking Christmas carols, and a light show you will never forget. So let's get started. Please welcome Goldie and the Wise Guys.
It was a very long time ago on a not-so-silent night. There was an explosion of light in the sky. It brought an announcement from heaven that would rock the world. It was a Silent Night light show.
It was a silent night. It was a holy night. In the darkness came an awesome light. And all around the town, the people were sleeping. And out in the fields, the shepherds were keeping. Away in a manger, a baby lay. A tiny boy laying in the hay. All the angels shouted loud and clear. Hallelujah! The King is here!
Thank you.
Ready, Seth? Hit it!
To our sound.
I can't see anything.
This is just awful. Our show is totally ruined.
Calm down, everyone. Calm down.
We still got a little light. Over there.
Hey, look, Seth. The star is still shining.
And it's shining right on the manger. What should we do? What about the rest of our show?
And what about our songs? Our amps aren't working.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Listen, everyone. I have an idea. Sammy, can you and Seth use the light from the star to find some candles? Frankie and Lindsay, here's my idea. Hi, everyone. As you can see, or maybe I should say, as you can't see, it seems like we might have had a little bit of a problem with the lights. So tonight we shall proceed unplugged. Please sing along as we continue by candlelight and, of course, the light of a star.
The sky was filled with a million angels, all praising God. Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, so everyone had gone to their own town to register. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
For him.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the flocks, shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
We found the problem. The Silent Night Light. Wait. We found the problem.
The Silent Night Light Show was low.
Yay! The lights are back on.
We found the problem.
The Silent Night Light Show was a little too bright.
Hi, Mrs. Taylor. Well, I guess tonight didn't quite turn out the way we planned it.
Not the way you planned it, Lindsay. But God always has a plan.
What do you mean, Mrs. Taylor?
Well, we can all get so busy trying to make Christmas happen, we forget it already happened a long time ago in Bethlehem. But God has a plan, not just at Christmas, but today and forever.
I guess I thought Second Sammy's lights would make our show the brightest show ever. But I was forgetting something. I forgot that the brightest light of all comes from Jesus. He is the light of the world.
And that is a light that will never go out. Well, I should be going.
Bye.
Oh, I almost forgot. My son thinks I know a lot about Christmas, and he made me the judge for the biggest, brightest Christmas show ever. Merry Christmas, kids.
Bye. Bye.
Can you believe it? Mrs. Taylor was the secret judge.
Maybe our light show didn't ruin everything.
No, Seth. Everything was exactly perfect. I do have a question, though. When all the other lights went out, why did the stars stay on?
I don't know. Maybe it was just plugged into a different outlet. It just never blew out.
It may have been a little star, but in the dark, you could sure see it shine. Like God wants us to shine.
Hey, everyone. Now that everything is working, we still have one more song. Let's finish the story.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
And the government will be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Receive her King. Let every
Awesome. Well done, kids. All right, let's stand together and sing our closing hymn. It's number 92 in your hymnals. Before we close out with the commissioning and the benediction, I think the kids have some thanks that they would like to pay, some things they'd like to present. Is that right? Come on up here, guys. Everyone can see you. Okay, so who's first? She's wired up.
Can Joyce and Rebecca come up? We want to thank them for directing the kids' choir, so we have some gifts for them.
These guys were awesome. I'm
going to close with two short sections of two separate psalms. Aaron read this some time ago, and it's just a great psalm out of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. And then reflecting on Timothy's message, I go back to Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth, why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases.
One of the really neat things about kids is it's almost like they haven't learned how to misplace the glory. And so it all goes to God. So that was really neat this morning. Thank you again, kids, and everyone who made that possible. From Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, notice in here that Paul says that the glory is now found in the church. Not because of us, like Phil just said, not to us, but because his presence is here. And it's you see it in the kids and things like that, right? So listen carefully to these words from Paul. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and spread it around. Amen.